Okay, I'm going to try this. I was told that if I don't use this in the evening, that if somebody needs to go out with one of the babies, they can't hear me where they're at, which I thought would be a great benefit. But apparently, my voice is soothing and helps the babies go to sleep. So maybe that's what it is. Very good, sir, buddy. Appreciate each one in attendance tonight. I know you could be doing other things, and yet you're here. And really, where else would we want to be when you think about that? I was thinking this morning, our lesson was on going forward. One of the most important things in life is to never quit, never give up, just keep on going forward. Some days it will seem like we're sliding backwards when we're trying to go forward, but when we talk about going to heaven, this is a great thing. And I was also thinking about the fact that when we get there, and we are going to get there. This is our plan. We won't do it because we deserve it, but we're going to be there. We need to be planning on that. We need to be absolutely determined. We are going to find out what God wants us to do, and to the best of our ability, we are going to do it and take advantage of His grace and His mercy, His plan of salvation. Otherwise, why even try? If we think it's some kind of a flip of a coin, maybe we'll make it, maybe we won't, why would we try? What kind of a God would we be serving if we thought that He was so fuzzy on what He wanted that maybe we weren't right on what He wanted? When we read the Word, we find very clear instructions on how to get where we're going. And again, the idea is to go forward. I suppose one of the greatest examples we have of somebody ceasing to go forward and looking back was Lot's wife. And we all know what happened to her. She turned into a pillar of salt. We were talking about memorials today. We have a memorial each time it rains. We'll see a rainbow. If it's daytime and the sun comes out afterward, we'll see a memorial. We had a terrible memorial with Lot's wife. Now, I suspect that salt dissolved in the first couple of good rains, but we have that memorial for all time as somebody who looks back. We become worthless when we look back. And so the idea is to press on. We talked in Colossians. We read the first 11 verses, but I want to go back there this evening and just point out something about the idea of setting our hearts on things above. In verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3, after He told us to set our hearts and our minds on things above, He said, "Put to death what belongs to your earthly nature." And then in verse 7, after He talked about the sin in verse 5 and 6, He said, "You used to walk in these ways." And this, I believe, is one of the greatest competitions for our service, is our memories of things that we may have left behind and our sliding back into doing those. And so He just says, "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these." It's a requirement. We can no longer continue to slide back. And so He says, you must rid yourself. So as we talk about going forward, one of the things we're talking about is ridding ourselves of the evil. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, one of the amazing things to me as I look at life is it takes as much effort to mess up as it does to be successful. Have you ever noticed that? I have seen people on the job at different jobs who have spent far more effort and creativity trying to figure out how to get out of work than just doing the work. And they always feel guilty for it, as well they should. They're afraid they're going to get caught, as well they should. Why do that? In Romans 6, I put this in human terms, verse 19, "Because you're weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them to slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of? And you think about that. You come out of sin, and you, while you were in sin, you may not have thought anything about it. Certainly the world does not. The world seems to celebrate sin, don't they? We're seeing all sorts of things that are quite frankly hard to imagine that anybody would say, I'm doing this. The things that people used to be ashamed of getting caught at doing, they would have been mortified. Now they stand up and they publicly proclaim it, and they've got followers who, even though they don't take part in those sins, they support them, and they shout down anyone who says that these sins are sins. And so there's a lot of effort that's going into sin. There's a lot of time going into these things. And in verse 21, he said, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? These things result in death. But now you've been set free and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. And so in one case, the wages was death. In one case, the benefit is eternal life. I don't imagine that I have a healthy relationship with sports. I've watched too many through the years, and I've played too many through the years, probably more than I should have, but I still love them. And I love the NBA playoffs. I don't like the NBA season. It's just kind of superfluous. So they have 82 games. It goes on forever. But the playoffs are great. I love the playoffs. And the thing I like about the playoffs is that it's sudden death. It's the best of seven series, but it's sudden death. But if they win a game, they've got to win four to win their series. If they win a game, they celebrate. There's a lot of joy in that one win. And they win another one and they celebrate. They get four celebrations if they go on, and then they have another series and then another series and another series. There's 16 celebrations on the way to that big trophy. Now, think about this. As Christians, we have celebration after celebration after celebration as we are heading towards that big trophy. We see people become Christians that we may have thought never had a chance, that wouldn't have ever considered becoming a Christian. We see faithful people dying in Christ, and we know that there is that hope of salvation for them, and we rejoice. The suffering is over for them, and now they get to go on. And so think about that. As we go through life, it's not just, well, it's going to be crummy, but at the end it's going to be good. It ought to be celebration after celebration after celebration. We were singing a song just before I got up here, Jesus is all the world to me. And there's a set of songs I can remember from when I was about, I guess, probably 8 to 12 years old when we lived in Seattle, Washington. And we lived right on the edge of a forest when we lived there. And for an 8-year-old boy to a 12-year-old boy, you talk about paradise. And it was a time within our nation where people really weren't worried about bad people being out there for children. It's not that they weren't. It's just that it was rare. And so as long as I was home when I was supposed to be, I really kind of had free rein during the summer. And it was just, I loved that time. And it was something that there was just tremendous joy. And there are times in my life I look back and I think, boy, that was it. We have to be careful sometimes with that. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it's not wise to ask such questions. He's not saying don't look back with fondness over time. And I don't think he's saying either to not think about it at all, because when things are going right, when you have your most peace and your most contentment, those are not bad times to look back upon and analyze and try and figure out what was going on at that time that I had such joy, maybe more joy than you do now. And so there's nothing wrong with analyzing it. The problem comes in with what we were looking at this morning with the Israelites. The Israelites were in slavery, but they were just a fairly, as a whole, ungrateful people. Though God blessed them, though God was freeing them, they didn't appreciate the fact that it came with effort. And so when they were freed and the effort came and the challenges came, they said, "We wish we were slaves again. Boy, we had it made back then. We sat around pots of meat at that time." Do not ask why the old days were better than these. It's not wise to ask such questions. The idea behind that is clearly we don't need to always be looking back. There's nothing wrong with enjoying and nostalgia and having good memories. Some of my best memories were with my grandmothers. Now I love those times. I think about the things that I did. Some of my best friends when I was growing up, I think about. Nothing wrong with nostalgia, especially when we take it and we say that I had blessings because of God. And there's nothing wrong with analyzing it. And I realized that during that time period, as always, my parents were very faithful. If worship was going on, we were there. My sister was deathly sick. She had some kind of a blood disease. They never did figure out what it was at that time. And so she stayed home for about a year. And I can remember going on Sunday morning with Dad or Mom, and Sunday evening with Mom or Dad, and then Wednesday evening with one or the other of them. And it was like a 30-mile drive just to get to worship. And yet, we went. And one of the things I think about why that time was so special was because it was a sacrificial time. And it was a time, as always, during my upbringing, that God was important and that there were just certain standards. When we talk about going forward, it's every day. It's getting up on Sunday morning and worshiping, not because I got to, but because I get to worship. It's thinking about how you can encourage somebody when you're there. It's a privilege to be able to do this. We don't deserve this. You could have been born in the Middle East to a Muslim family who despised Christianity. You could have been raised that way. You don't deserve this. I don't deserve this, but here we have it. And so that lens becomes what a privilege to worship whenever I can. We're mowing tomorrow, we teens and sponsors who are not teens anymore. What a privilege to be able to take care of people who are in a position where right now it's not as convenient for them to do this type of labor. It's not convenient for them to have to be out funds for something like that. And we can do that. And so it's a privilege. There are areas of service in your life that are victories. It's hard work. And while you're working hard, you laugh and you enjoy the fellowship and you go home and you celebrate the victory because you did something that somebody needed you to do. Christianity is going forward. It's daily. It's praying when you get out of bed or before, "Thank you for this day. Please help me." It's taking time during the day to read the Word because you have to find out what God wants you to know so that you can be in heaven someday. Not from a legalistic perspective, "I do this, I deserve that," but from an obedience, servant perspective. "I don't deserve to be able to serve God, but I do. And I'm going to find out what He wants me to do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, even if it's not convenient." And let me assure you, and you already know this, don't you? Life service to God is not intended to be convenient. He has something planned for us. I don't know what it is. But think about eternity. We get to go to heaven forever. We're here for a little bit of time right now, and if we show God, "With all my heart, I want to do this, and even though I've messed up here, I'm going to take care of it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to rely on your mercy, and I'm going to do it," what must heaven be like? no tears in heaven, no death in heaven, no disease in heaven. The important work, you've been faithful in a few things, I'll put you in charge of 10 cities. I don't know what kind of work it's going to be, but it's going to be fantastic. In order to reap that type of a benefit, we need to keep going forward. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was talking about his former life. He said, I was a Pharisee. Pharisee came with a lot of perks. It was like being in the Jewish Senate. And you think of our senators, well, they had a lot of perks. You can be a congressman for 2 years, and then you've got retirement for the rest of your life. You've got protection for the rest of your life. You just got anything. There's lots of perks. Well, the Pharisees had lots of perks. And he wasn't just a Pharisee in name only. He was somebody who was fervent about it. He called his legalistic righteousness faultless. He said, I persecuted Christians. He was doing everything he could to be a good Jew. And when he found out that he was on the wrong path, he took that same effort to serve God when he found out what the right way was. He thought he'd been doing right, but when he found out he was wrong, he took that same effort. And so now he's looking back at this, or talking about this wonderful life that he could have had, and he says in verse 7 of Philippians 3, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. All these wonderful things that Paul had, he said they're garbage. And when you think about the fact that he was persecuting Christians, that was certainly true. But when you think about the power, the position, the wealth he could have had, he said, that's rubbish by comparison with this greatness that I have in Christ. And then he goes on to talk about, in verse 11, he wants to somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. He's not saying that it's a chancy thing. He's just saying that he is going to work for it with all of his might. And then he says this in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this. I want to assure you, Paul knew that he was saved at this point, or he would have done something about it. But he also realizes he could blow it. He could go back. And he's determined not to. But he just points out, I have not already obtained it. Heaven is still in the balance for him, depending on his service. Certainly, the grace is already going to be extended if he'll do it God's way. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. Goes forward to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, going forward, I press on toward the goal, going forward to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul is determined he's not going to give up, and neither should we. If the Apostle Paul can look back on his life when he was Saul of Tarsus and say he was the worst of sinners, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom he was the chief, then what does that mean for us? It means that we can take hold of heaven, but we have to go forward. Even the Apostle Paul said he hadn't obtained it yet. In verse 15, he said, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. The reason we spend so much time in the Word is because we want to find out what the pattern is. I understand, sweetheart. One of the things I like about a pattern is if you do it right, you come up with what you were intended to come up with. When I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken, they sent the 11 herbs and spice flour already mixed so that I wouldn't mess it up. But there was a pattern to the way you had to cook that. But if you cooked it according to their pattern, it came out right every time. And even though I am not a good cook, I'm a good microwaver, but I'm not a good cook. If I went to the pattern, I could do it. If you and I will follow the pattern within the Word, we will be in heaven. It's an incredible gift, but you can't give up. I know I've told this before, but one of my favorite accounts, one of my favorite stories was of Jack Carter when he was a young man, I don't know, maybe 14, 15 years old, and he was driving in Colorado with an older couple that he was working for, and a sudden snowstorm came up, and it was just one of those blizzards that just shut the road down on a dirt road, and they got stuck. He and this elderly couple. And so, I don't know if they drew straws, but it was determined one of them was going to go get the tractor. And it was Jack. And so he went to go get the tractor, and the blizzard just got worse and worse. And he talked about the fact staying on the road was hard, and that there were times where he slipped off the road. And he just made the point. He said, I could have wallowed there, but I got up and I kept on going. Now, I can tell you there does come a point when you are so cold that your mind ceases to function. Mine ceases to function when it's warm. But there was one time when I was walking in below zero. Shouldn't have been, but the ride I thought I had didn't come when I thought they would. And I was walking home in Colorado, and I literally got to the point where I thought, if I just lay down for a little bit, get a little nap, I'll feel better. And fortunately, my dad came up at that time. I ended up with frostbite on every extremity that you can imagine. But the thing was that there really does come a point where you don't think clearly and you're ready to give up. I think when we talk about going forward and when we realize there are times in our life where we stop, it's because there are just so many outside influences that we stop thinking clearly. And we cease to think of heaven that's waiting for us. One last passage, and then we'll close. It's found in Galatians chapter 5, and it's verse 1. And he says this, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We can continue to live in a fear of death that comes to those who sin. Or we can stop sinning, we can embrace the freedom that God has for us, and we can stand firm. And as God pointed out to the Israelites after Moses told them to stand firm, we can go forward. If we'll do that, heaven will be ours someday. Even though we don't deserve it, that's what God has for us. And even though this life is difficult at times, there is victory after victory after victory for those who will go forward. If we'll just open our eyes and see that. Invitation's open. If you need to respond, please do while we stand and sing.